in the middle of the week for a prayer service. Pray your blessing now on our time together, and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Appreciate that. Brother Tracy, let's open to Psalms chapter 48. Psalms chapter 48 and verses 1 and 2. We'll do a couple scripture songs tonight. Good to have Brother Charlie Johnson. Charlie Clark's a world famous preacher there who's headed to jail, so headed to a New Jersey jail, bless his heart. It's good to have Charlie Johnson with us here tonight. Praise the Lord. Psalm and chapter 58. We've got to find a couple songs out of our Bible tonight. Be good. Oh, did I say 58? 48. Psalms 48, the first two verses say this. I think we, most of us know this, the same tune, I hope, okay? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Once more. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion and the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Galatians, hold your thumb in Psalms, jump to Galatians and chapter 2. That's after 1 Corinthians. Well, it's after 2 Corinthians 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Now we're going to change this a little bit so it fits the song. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. We're going to pause right there and put in this clause. Therefore, I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore, or crucified with Christ. Then the verse says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think the Runyons do this and fit all of that verse in without changing it. But the contemporary song just puts that first two clause in there. Let's try that. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I got the tune wrong. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Praise the Lord. Not Psalms, but Isaiah chapter 51. And verse 11 I got marked in my Bible as a song. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing into Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Let's try that again, three notes lower. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. One more, back to Isaiah chapter 40. The last verse of Isaiah and chapter 40. I got marked in my margin as a song. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. For the baritones in us, let's go ahead and sing it a little lower. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. I like it way down there in the basement. Let's try it again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Now open your Bibles to Hosea chapter 13. Hosea. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 928. How's our Ryrie fans doing? Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea 13. Is that right after Daniel? Daniel, Hosea, it is. Yeah, there you go. What is it, page 1256? So Ryrie put more pages in. He's got more notes.
That was the date of Hosea.
What? Oh.
What chapter?
Chapter 13, Hosea.
I had a butter bottle.
Chapter 13. What's that, a Sunday school Bible?
1337.
All right, praise the Lord. Anyone got a praise they'd like to share with us? Yeah, brother.
I thank God I'm on vacation.
Praise.
Good. Yeah, 2 days.
It's a regular weekend, but you have weeks.
2 days. All right, praise the Lord for vacations. Yeah, Brother Cramer.
Praise God, we got a
runner. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord.
Like the whole family seems like they're with the Christians. So, haven't really known.
They go to the West.
But they're Chambers. Have you heard of Chambers Camp?
Yes. I went there when I was a kid.
So, yeah, they do a lot through there, and so.
What was that? The Bible Club Girls? What was that called? Is that what that was?
Bible Club? Bible Club Girls. They did a lot of the cooking at Chambers Camp in the summer.
Yeah, yeah. But they used to do release time classes. When I was a kid, we used to go to release time classes with the Bible Club Girls down in Northside Lodge. Is that still around?
No, they
graduated. They do a Bible thing with the ladies
Yeah, yeah. A lot of them still around. That release time Bible classes, they used to call them. But yeah, they were workers at Chambers Camp, and we went every year for half my childhood anyway. Praise the Lord. And then we went to the big leagues camp up to Lamoka Baptist Camp. We went up there for years as well. Praise the Lord. All right. It's good that you're here tonight. Appreciate again that we can gather together. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hosea, if we found it and got a page number to go with that. If you're following through your Bible reading schedule, you sat down this week and read Hosea in two sittings. And I think you found, at least what I found, was it's the same thing over and over and over again for 13 chapters anyway, all the way up to chapter 14 before the theme changes. The second thing that we discovered in reading this was, man, it parallels almost verbatim what's going on in our society today. The chaos in the streets, the rebellion against God, the denial of the Creator, the going after false gods of science, so-called, and again, the worshiping of science over top of God, worshiping creatures more than the Creator. And so I thought it was, wow, it was just eye-opening to read through this in light of the anarchy that's in our streets and what's going on in our society as far as the rebellion against everything. So I thought chapter 13 seems to capture the heart of it as God's rehearsed over and over the sins of all of these nations, particularly of Judah and then of Israel. And here you find that Ephraim, remember that was one of the major tribes of Israel, and Ephraim was where Bethel was, and they set up the calf and were worshiping the Jeroboam, caused all the people to sin. And so chapter 13 is a rebuke to Ephraim. And let's go ahead and just look at a little bit of that tonight, Hosea and chapter 13. And watch how this rings so true for mankind. Remember, the things that are written in the Old Testament are written for our learning. And actually, we find that the Old Testament illustrates very well the New Testament. So what we see in the New Testament is illustrated in the Old Testament. And here, we can find the depravity of man. I think I made this term up myself when I was writing a book called The Religiosity of Man. I don't know if that's a real word or not. I haven't found it in any dictionaries yet, but man has a religiosity where they are putting on airs of religion. And we find that all rebuked here very soundly through the book of Hosea. Let's see, the other thing I wanted to mention, this is off topic, but I like it so much, I'm going to mention it here. I broke my fast today. I've been fasting for 90 days on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And today I broke fast at noon because I've reached a personal goal that I was trying to hit before my birthday, which is next Tuesday, by the way. I lost 30 pounds in 90 days. And appreciate again. I'm writing a book about how that works and how it cures arthritis and all kinds of... And what?
Articles.
I'm writing several articles. Yeah. We quit calling them books anymore. On why that works. And I actually found this on my way to an arthritis cure. And so, it's been an amazing 90 days. I started the fasting because of the condition of our nation. A 3-day fast a week, but I quickly found out that belly fat was disappearing fast when I did that, and I said, wow, this fast is fast. And so I've kept it up here till my birthday, which is next Tuesday, by the way. And so I appreciate again the good help. Oh, there's two things that I did to lose weight. Let me cover this real quick. Three things that I did to lose weight. Number one is that I fasted every day 12 hours a day. So your body's not made to digest food 24/7. Unfortunately, we do that. And so, again, if you could just give your stomach a rest and the rest of your digestive tract for 12 hours a day, it's amazing what that does to heal a broken body and a broken digestive tract especially. And so that was the first thing. And that was actually given to us by Dr. Caesar up in Buffalo as a cure for heart disease. And so we've been following that. The second thing, again, was that I fasted one day a week, 24-hour day. On Mondays, I've been fasting. But this three-day a week, again, kind of overemphasized the fact that your digestive system needs a rest in order to heal. And especially with the stuff that we throw at it. The third thing I did every time is every time we drove by Max, we stopped and I bought a coffee ice cream cone. I figured coffee's like a fruit. And let's get to the Bible. Hosea. No, I was doing what? Sherbert. Sherbert twisted with vanilla first until they put watermelon sherbet up. And I said, Hosea in chapter 13. Follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's holy word. It says, "When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended in Baal, he died. Now, they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it is the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves." And if you remember, there was two calves. One was set up at Dan and Beersheba. The other was set up in Bethel. And Jeroboam set up, caused Israel to sin all throughout the whole kingdom of the north, the 10 tribes that were broken off from Judah. And so they said, "Let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me." Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you that we could gather with other believers. Thank you that we could have such a precious book to learn of you. And Father, I pray again as we look a little bit at the depravity of man tonight, and as we look again at your chosen nation, Israel, and the results of their rebellion and backsliding. And I pray again that you'd open our hearts and our eyes to realize the slippery slope that we get on when we deny you as our Creator, when we deny you as our God, and even here as our Savior, as we see in this text. We'll praise you now and thank you for your touch on your word, encouragement in a day of turmoil, and strength again for the week that we're in. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Notice that verse again, verse 4. "Yet I am the Lord," all caps, "thy God," Elohim is the official title of God. That all caps there again, you got to watch that throughout this book. There are several times when it says Lord with all caps, the Lord, the God. Take a look at verse 14 and you see a different title for God, or chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, "Israel, return unto the Lord," see the all caps, "thy God." And there's, and that again is Jehovah, thy Elohim. I guess that's the same as it is here. Verse 4, I'm sorry. "The Lord, thy God." The Lord, where it's all caps, is Jehovah, the personal name of God. And in Hebrew, it rhymes with I am. It's got the same letters as the Hebrew phrase I am. And that's why people got so mad when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the truth. I am the way. When he said those things, boy, those Pharisees, it just rubbed up. It was almost like you heard someone say something and it sounded like cursing, and you turned your ear and say, what did he say? And so that's what they were thinking every time he said that. So the word Jehovah, as we pronounce it, because we didn't know the letters, and we don't know the letters, a lot of modernists with their revised versions say that it's supposed to be Yahweh. And I'm not much of a modernist, and I don't do much in revised versions, and so I don't use the revised version of his name. They put the letters J, or the vowels in, because of the names of God. J-E, E's for Elohim, H-O. So each of those is a reference to the name of God, and that's how they got the letters to put in the pronunciation of Jehovah. And so anyway, that we use that as a personal name of God. Notice that the Hebrews won't say that word. And they won't say it out loud. And here, whenever they wrote it down, they'd stop and they'd go change their pen and they'd change their raiment and they'd take a shower. And then they'd come back just to write. And so very often, in fact, I just saw this someplace in one of the writings of the Prime Minister of Israel. And he wrote several things in reference to God, and he would not put the name God in. Instead, I forgot what he put in. But they will not write it out again, because it's so holy that they're very careful of that. And so it was here, so that they never pronounced it. The only time a Hebrew would ever pronounce that name is when they were talking to him, and they would use his name then, but not in public, not in any other forum. So I'm still a little leery about using the name Jehovah. I like to be careful of it. I like to give it all the reverence I can put with it. But this verse says, yeah, I am the Jehovah, thy Elohim. And Elohim there, God, as we have it translated, is the overall title for the Godhead, for the position of God. The other way you find it a couple times in your Bible here is I am the Lord, capital L, little O-R-D, your God, all caps. And that's where, whenever you see it, it's all caps, that's the name Jehovah. Whether it's Lord or God, that's where that personal name shows up. And when it said the Lord God, it was Adonai, which means Lord. You own me, you possess me, you created me, you are my Lord. And so, just an interesting thing on the names there. Verse 4 again says, yeah, I am the Jehovah thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God, notice the little g, but me, for there is no Savior beside me. We started reading the book of Isaiah. I don't think we got to 12 yet. When we get to chapter 12 is kind of a set back and look at the whole thing, and it talks again about the God who is our salvation. And so understand here that Jehovah, there's only one Savior in this world. There might be a lot of gods, little g, in this world, but there's only one who is a Savior. And we find that emphasis here. Look at verse 5. I did know thee, and this is God speaking, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled with their heart, was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beasts shall tear them. Verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. Verse 12 says, the iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. there's three things, again, that we find in a trio here called iniquity, sin, and wickedness. And that behooves, I guess you have to throw evil in there as well as one of the, I was going to call them the trios again, but now we got a quartet of sin. And notice here that this iniquity, I've always considered it's helped me again. I had a Sunday school teacher that told me this. That iniquity is your bent towards sin. That we have iniquity. That means we have a tendency to go off into sin. Sin is what we do when we disobey. In fact, some people have given sin a definition of missing the mark. But it's worse than that. Missing the mark, you could miss the mark accidentally. And we do sin accidentally. We do have secret sins and hidden sins. That we don't even know about. But again, sin is the child who grits his face and walks over to the electrical outlet, and he's going to stick his finger in that no matter what you do. And again, there's a contest between a parent and a child that says whose will is stronger. Is the will of the parent stronger than the will of the child? The case in America is they buy little electrical protectors because the will of the parent is not stronger than the will of the child. And so they make little protectors that you can stick on there, and supposedly a child can't get them off. Yeah, sure. Anyway, what was my point? Oh, so sin. We have this tendency, we have this bent towards sin, that's called iniquity. We have this attraction to sin. Disobedience is a better definition of sin. Missing the mark might fit the exact definition in places, but it is disobedience. Being disobedient is sin. And so the other is wickedness, and that's where we dwell in sin, and we just camp out there, and we stay there, and we become wicked. And then, I don't know what to say about evil. Evil. Who is it? There was a show that we watched, and they said, this man is evil. Walt Disney said that. Where were we? I gave the king in my anger iniquity. Verse 12. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is the unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Have we heard that verse almost before? Yeah. Anybody know where that's found? Matthew. No. His 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians has a chapter called the Resurrection chapter. So hold your place in Hosea. Let's look at the parallel version of that verse. It's no coincidence that it's worded this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, let's look at the parallel to this passage. I guess, I don't know what to call that, a reverse parallel, a mirrored image. Look at chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that... And then here we have the gospel presented. So if you want the gospel in a nutshell, here it is. 1 Corinthians explains what the gospel is. It says that we preached this unto them, and they delivered it door to door. And it says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, yada, yada, yada. It gives all the appearances of Christ down through that section. And so this is all about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to read through all of that whole resurrection account before you get to verse 55. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. Let's start in 54 so we'll catch the gist of it. Let's start in 53 because I love this part. Or I can't skip 52. Let's go all the way back to 51. Ooh, this is good stuff. Here it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Remember, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live." I think that was something like that. I missed it somehow. And then he said this, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And there's a big deal in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up without dying. And so notice here in this mystery, we shall not all sleep. In other words, all of us don't have to die. Some of us are just going to be transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of... Oh, sorry, go ahead. "But ye shall be changed, praise the Lord, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Verse 54, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written." Okay, now you read, you follow along and read the saying that is written here in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in Luke 54, and I'll go ahead and read the one as it shows up over here in Hosea chapter 13. I forgot what verse I was in, so I got to get there. Verse 14. You should have a cross reference between these two sections. Here's what it says in Hosea. You've got it open to 1 Corinthians 15. "O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes." And notice the oppositeness, if that's a word, of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so notice here again that, I mean, there's enough right there in the looking at those two verses to make a Baptist shout, hallelujah. So again, to understand that death has been changed for us. It doesn't hold what it used to hold. Again, we are now alive. And notice here, back in Hosea chapter 13, I just wanted to again make sure you got that cross-reference together. You get those two verses tied together for three or four verses, all cross-referenced in your Bible. This is good stuff here. Notice he's given to Ephraim, "I will be thy destruction. Though ye be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord," all caps, "shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria," remember that's kind of the heart of Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, is Samaria. And remember, Samaria is where Ahab reigned from with his sweet wife Jezebel. And again, he's the one who established Samaria as a kingdom. He's the one who stole the vineyard right in the midst of Samaria. And let's not preach that one yet. "Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces. Their women with child shall be ripped up." The violence, the destruction the utter destruction here of Ephraim when they went into the Assyrian captivity. Now, Hosea wrote just before they went into that captivity. This was probably unbelievable to them. Listen, if you could look down the road a few years, if 10 years ago you could look down the road to today, you'd say, that's unbelievable. Riots in the streets, overturning statues of everybody in America. What's going on here? And so again, we could look ahead, I think, again, with Hosea's prophecy here. If Ephraim could look ahead and see what was going to happen to them, they'd have a little bit different attitude. And I'd have us here understand that everything that God promised here to Ephraim has happened so far up to these 13 chapters. And again, we find they're destroyed. We've just started reading Isaiah. If you remember, when we get about halfway through Isaiah is when a king named Hezekiah comes to Isaiah and says, hey, did you hear what Sennacherib is saying over there? You need to come and give us a word from the Lord. And we're fasting and praying. And that's the very time, again, that Sennacherib is the one who did exactly what it says in verse 16 of Hosea and chapter 13. And so they were utterly destroyed. I served 23 years in the military defending against Marxism, communism, and we could do it with nuclear weapons when I was in, and we did it very effectively. And it was all kept at bay, and it was stayed. In fact, the wall came down while I was in, and all these other things happened to give us great victories over communism. And now communists are running our streets. Communism is like socialism 202. Okay, it's the next step after socialism. And sorry, Bernie, but we're not socialists around here. And our president of the United States, during his State of the Union, said we will never be socialists. And right now, this could go either way. And so we see that. I've talked to people who say, yeah, the government needs to take better care of it. The government, in fact, there's some politicians who are saying the government needs to pay everybody in the United States, what, $3,000 a month? $2,000? What was it, a month? A week? $1,000 a week they wanted. Give everybody. So that's the only way we're going to get out of poverty. Listen, that brain set, you don't know where that comes from. Notice again here that if you could imagine, if these folks could imagine what was going to happen, they'd had an eye-opener. And so notice here again, we're kind of in the same boat with these things. We've got some promises that God's going to judge sin, and our nation is guilty of sin. But look now at chapter 14, real quickly. I don't have time to cover all this. So let's just cover the last two verses. Get some tremendous promises about Israel and their return unto the Lord. And verse 8 says, Ephraim, that's the one again that suffered all this destruction. They're called the 10 lost tribes because they were scattered around the world. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Israel back together again. But notice here it says, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you again for its revelation of a restoration of Israel. Father, we still look forward to that during a 7-year tribulation period that you've promised to fall out upon this earth. We know again there's going to come a day when you're all done dealing with the age of grace, the church. And Father, we'll be carried out of this place. And again, there will be all this havoc breaking out as you usher in a kingdom age where you will fulfill the promises to Ephraim that we just read. And I'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for just giving us understanding. And thank you that we could be on the winning side. And Father, help us through this turmoil that we're in as a nation. Pray your blessing on our efforts to lift up your Son through it all. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. And I hope that excites you a little bit for your journey through the book of Isaiah, who is a more of a dissertation on the same, again, about the promise of destruction that's going to come upon Israel. But then, again, intermixed in all that is the promise that Christ will actually come back and restore Israel. And so as we hold those things in truth, understand that all the focus is going to soon turn away from even the United States, and it's going to be all focused on a little land that's wrongfully called Palestinian territory. It is God's promised land and His promised restoration. So pray for our nation. Pray for our Jeannie as well. We wish Jeannie could be here. Wish her again that God would heal and touch her broken body. So let's pray for Dave and Jeannie tonight. And appreciate again, I think they're here by Facebook. And appreciate again that we can get this to them. And let's keep the Johnsons in our prayer tonight. It's good to have Charlie Johnson here with us tonight. Also, praise the Lord. And I had some other prayer requests. I think I heard that Randy has started chemo. So for the tumor that he had. And so pray for him. I think Eileen is looking for our outside speaker, to be honest. She comes by every Wednesday night. But it's not. Okay. So. All right. Yes. Yeah.
Also pray for Vanessa, Randy's daughter. She's pregnant in the hospital being induced, but she's in a lot of pain, and I guess her labor is not going the way they want.
Wow. So that's Vanessa. And then... Wow. All right, so let's keep Vanessa. I'll get this. Andrews. In our prayers as well. And then we had a problem pregnancy in the family too. Who was that?
That is Ashley.
Ashley's. And she's still with child, yes? Okay, so Bev's sister's, is it granddaughter? My goodness, I'm getting old, I think. Bev's sister's granddaughter, Ashley, if you keep her in prayer for her pregnancy as well. Okay, any other prayer requests we need? Yes, Deb.
Also, keep my friend Amanda Friesian in prayer. She's the girl that was through Freedom Village, and she's come down to stay with us a couple times. She's had a lot of, continued emotional issues, and she's got some physical stuff that's going on right now, too, that she needs some prayer.
And is Amanda saved, you know, or?
She says she is, but I don't know if that's kind of part of growing up saying what you are supposed to say.
Okay, Amanda Friesian.
Friesian. Yeah.
Good luck spelling that, okay? God knows how to spell it, so just give it to him. Yes?
We got to go at work, and I was trying to in yesterday, and And anyway, we got to talk and stuff, and I gave him my salvation testimony, and he's struggling with alcohol. And I gave him a tract. I'm going to give him a Bible when I go back to work. So pray for his salvation.
All right. What was that name again?
Eric. I don't remember his last name.
Okay. Pray for co-worker Eric, for Tracy.
What's his problem?
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
And salvation.
I've been sober for 40 years.
Praise the Lord. You've been sober for 40 years.
40 years.
And how long have you been saved, Charlie? About the same time?
About 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Same time.
All right. Praise the Lord. I cannot spell alcohol. Pray for Eric anyway, a co-worker, for his alcohol problem and for salvation. Beverly and I ran into a guy, he said he's from Dresden, so we started talking. It turns out he was Rowan's dad.
Wow.
So we talked to him for a half hour today about Rowan. And Rowan's supposed to be back in town, what did he say, next week or sometime here?
Next weekend.
So pray, and what was his name, John. So pray for John, Rowan's dad, and pray for Rowan. And it was good talking to him, and he just let us know how much Rowan, or he appreciated what we're doing with Rowan, and just including him. Rowan's not normal. Oh, like you're normal, okay, but Rowan is an extraordinary young man, and everyone don't give him the reception that he's gotten here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And so we appreciate him. What did he say he had since?
Autistic,
yes.
Autistic.
So pray for him. And I told him that, hey, now that we've met him, I'm going to twist Rowan's arm even more to get his dad to come to church. And so he lives just over a block from here. So pray for John, and I still didn't get his last name, and for Rowan. And we had a good talk with them today. Yes, Brother Dave. Yeah, that's it. I think it's that coffee ice cream. Okay, let's pray for neck. Is that muscle?
That we hope. It hurts, and then like I can stretch it out, and sometimes it just hurts more.
So. I've become an expert on the itises again. I have arthritis I've had for all my life. I've got bursitis, and now I've got, after I broke my ankle, broke both ankles, I've got tendonitis that just will not stop. And so, yeah, those itises will kill you. At least wear you down. So pray for Dave's neck. And a praise also for their tenants that they have starting in August. Was mentioned.
Well, actually, we have another praise from John Stead. We have a guy that he works with me, and he was looking for a place for a month. So just July, and I said, hey, listen, I said, if you want to come in and do some painting for us, and I said, I'll let you stay for free. He goes, okay.
There you go.
All he's got is like an air mattress, because our house is closing, but it's not closing
fast
enough, and so they gave it a 30-day. And so I'm like, yeah, I said, if you can do the painting, and that's pretty much all we had left. So let's go after that.
All right, praise the Lord. Free painters, we like that. So. Yes, Deb.
Praise
for my dad. He just wanted to say thank you for the Father's Day gift from church. I still got a hymn rod gift certificate. Boy, Beverly knows what I like.
Yeah, so. I've never seen those cards over there.
You have to ask.
You have to twist arms over there. So.
That's nice.
Praise the Lord. So, what'd you get? Max?
No,
Kelsey's. Oh, that's the other ice cream place. That's your favorite ice cream place. All right. We've got to be careful we don't get into ice cream wars here. Praise the Lord. All right. So, let's go ahead and keep these prayer requests in order. It's so good, again, that we can gather in the name of the Lord tonight and word these requests. Pray for Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Again, and our outreach is pretty limited here. We have two services a week, but God can use them. And so let's go ahead and just keep our little church in prayer here again as we struggle through a pandemic and all the rules. Pray for a lot of other churches that are really hurting. Pray for Solid Rock Baptist Church. They have a lawsuit. What was it, next week?
July
6th, they have a lawsuit. They've been issued a citation every time they open their doors. They're given, the governor of New Jersey gives them a citation for having church. And so they've got to go answer for that. I think I said at Taco Tuesday, praise the Lord for Taco Tuesday last night. If you didn't make that, you missed out. But I did say there that someone's going to go to jail. They are not going to pay the fines on that. The church will not use church money to pay the fines. Instead, if they pursue it, they're going to have to put a Baptist preacher in jail, is what they said. And Charlie Clark said, go ahead and take my dad. He's older, and he won't live as long anyway. So they're going to accrue a jail time for being in the church. Unbelievable.
They
in America.
Put Lester Roloff in jail.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't know that he had gotten the sheriff's sight.
I remember that, yeah. I mean, David Gibbs was his lawyer.
Right.
So David Gibbs is their lawyer down there, too. Talk about, he's a little older now. Again.
Yeah.
But, praise the Lord for that. And let's just keep them in prayer and hold that up. That could, again, be a case changer for all of America. They are going to the Supreme Court as well with the whole thing. So let's keep that in prayer and keep our nation in prayer.
Ken's neighbor, Emily Northup, she fell down her cellar steps and broke her shoulder. She's 80 some years old, and so she has surgery.
Nicely knows everything about her.
And what was her name again?
Emily Northup.
Emily. Okay. Fell down her stairs. 80 years old, you said? 80-something fell down her stairs and needs our prayers. Let's pray for Emily, Ken's neighbor down at Pink Post. All right. Yo, I'm sorry, yes.
I just want to keep sharing on the prayer list, too. They still have not told her what they're going to do with the stand.
Okay, let's pray for Beth's sister, Sharon, in Alabama, again, for cancer treatment. And that's still up in the air, how they're going to treat that. All right, let's go ahead and take these requests to the Lord in prayer. And as we do tonight, let's word our prayers together. And I found out that you're probably not going to be... Well, yeah, on Facebook. You won't be picked up on the phone, but I don't think that matters tonight. So let's go ahead and pray together. I'll ask Brother Cranmer if you start us off. Brother Tracy, if you pray, and then we'll go ahead and close.
Let's pray. Dear Holy Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the Bible study we have. We thank you so much for the praise that we've heard. Lord, thank you so much for the beautiful weather we've had. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are a God that will answer prayers. Lord, we lift up what we have in the past to you in this prayer, Lord, for the cancer, just pray you take it away, take the pain away also, Lord. Be with Dave as he struggles, watch his wife deteriorate. Lord, just pray, Lord, for our nation. We pray, Lord, that we help us to come back to you. We pray, Lord, for our president, vice president. Just pray, Lord, that has protection about them, Lord. Be with the other sicknesses, Lord, with the Randy and Lord, the sister, the chemo, just pray, Lord, for him. Lord, we take this cancer away also, Lord. We thank Sharon's granddaughter, Lord, the pregnancy that's that was pregnant, just pray, Lord, for the whole term of the baby. We pray, Lord, for this person that brought out, Lord, was pregnant, for Randy's daughter, and just pray, Lord, for her, and just pray, Lord, that the baby will be born and everything will be okay, Lord. Lord, we think of the visit the pastor Beth had with Roman's dad. We just pray, Lord, to be in church. We pray, Lord, for Mr. Johnson here, Lord, coming to church. We pray, Lord, for Emily and her broken arm. We pray, Lord, to heal her. And pray, Lord, also for Sharon with cancer. Just pray, Lord, that you just heal her with cancer, Lord, and help the doctor figure out Lord, we think of safety, Lord, as we go home tonight, Lord. Just pray, Lord, for the churches that are being fined in America. Just pray, Lord, that it will just stop right now. I pray, Lord.
Lord, for this nonsense of taking down statues and everything, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that people realize that just because something's offensive to you, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that you don't have to look at it. I just pray, Lord, for our nation. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the people that come to you in these prayers. I ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all your blessings. Thank you for salvation. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to come and study your word and worship you freely in this country. I lift up this country and the leaders and pray, Lord, that you give them wisdom. Lord, that they would make decisions you want them to make. I lift up Trump and Pence and their families and pray you put your head stretched around them and give them the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of servant that they need to do what you want them to do and make decisions you want them to make. For Awake America, and continue to bless them and their ministry. For Christian Law Association, continue to bless them and their lives, their families, their work, and their ministry. Lord, give them wisdom and favor in all their cases and give their enemies derision. Lord, we lift up the situation in New Jersey and pray, Lord, you be with the Clark family and that church and bless them, strengthen and comfort them, let them know that you're there. And Lord, we pray for a victory in that case. Lord, we thank you for that. For Jeannie, Lord, if you would just do a miracle, Lord.
Yeah.
All the doctors have just messed her up. And Lord, you're the great physician. You could heal her with just your word. So we pray that you would speak that word, Lord, and heal her. For Dave, that you strengthen and comfort him, too. And Lord, for Vanessa Andrews and Ashley, Lord, that you be with them and their labor and with baby. And Lord, I pray that not only the babies are born healthy, but they're healthy too, Lord. For Randy Andrews, Lord, that you'd heal him. For Amanda, Lord, that you'd be with her, save her. And for Eric, Lord, that you'd save him, Lord. Give him the victory over over the grave and over death, Lord, that you've given each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, for Roman and his dad, Lord. Thank you for the meeting. And, Lord, I pray that you would bless that whole family, Lord. Thank you for Roman. I pray that he'd get here and come back to church. Lord, we thank you for that. For Dave Mack, Lord, that you would heal him of all the pain. Lord, we pray that we thank you for his tenants. Pray, Lord, that everything works out well there. And for Emily Northrup, Lord, that you would heal her. If she's not saved, Lord, save her. And for Sharon, that you would heal her of her cancer. Lord, that you would get all the honor, Lord, and praise. No doctor. And Lord, thank you for Brother Johnson being here. Continue to bless him. And I pray, Lord, for this church. Continue to bless this church. Be with our neighbor, Lord, that you would bless them also, Lord. If you save the ones that are not saved, the ones that are saved, continue to bless, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, praise you again. Thank you. Thank you that with the word of these requests tonight. Thank you, Father, for your great promise. Hear our prayers. Father, you said where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. You said again, whatsoever we ask in your name, that you would do it. So we're asking some things in your name tonight. I pray again for each of these healing requests that we've given you, Father, that not only that you touch as a great physician and heal, but Father, that your name could be lifted up and broadcast even because of your healing. Father, that you change lives. I pray especially that you hear prayers of those that are in need of healing just tonight. I think of Randy and Tammy and pray that you hear their prayers. I pray that you hear the prayers of their children as they bring their father into your presence. And Father, even going through this Father's Day, we thank you for the celebration that we had here and the look at fathers. But know again, Father, that there's some people that are praying for dads just now, and we'd ask that you'd hear their prayers. I think of Dave and Jeannie and all that they're going through, and ask that you'd hear the prayers of their children, their children's children. And Father, that you hear the prayers even of this Emily Northrup that was mentioned, that you hear the prayers and see the need of Amanda, that you'd touch John tonight. Thank you for the sharing the gospel and there again tugging on his heart to come out to church and to meet us. And
and Father, for Dave Cranmer's pain and neck, and for the need there. And know again, Father, that you are the physician. You can again touch and meet us where we live. And I'd ask again that you hear prayers. And Father, that you touch and change lives even through it. And Father, that you cause that your name would be lifted up above every name, that there's no salvation except in you. And that includes for our physical infirmities. And so I pray again that you hear those prayers. I think of Keegan. I think of Grandma and Bill and Jackie and their need of healing and health and strength and answered prayer in each of those regards. And so we'd ask that you touch. I think of Barb and ask that you touch her tonight. We thank you for her and pray again that you'd even watch over her through this sleep problem that she's dealing with in her life. Father, thank you again for Jody and Sheila. Thank you again, Father, for their love for you, and pray that you touch them, encourage them, help that we could touch them with your hands also. Father, we'll praise you and thank you. Father, we love you. Thank you again that we could come before your presence tonight and ask that you see our heart and hear our prayer. Father, we pray a special blessing on the week that's yet before us, that we could again have opportunity to share your saving grace. Father, that you'd help us to be witnesses. I pray for Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And we've dwindled down to just a couple services and no active Sunday school, no active Sunday night Bible study. And so I pray again that you smile on our efforts just the same. And touch this church and we could again hear from heaven. We love you. Thank you again, Father, for your presence. And just ask again, Father, that you renew it in a special way. Pray now that you'd touch our week. Cause that your hand of blessing would be upon each one this week. And we'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up and stretch those weary muscles. Let's sing, Boy, It's Good to Be Saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being in church on a Wednesday night.